Just while we're still standing, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that as we've stood and sung and retold the story, that hope arises in us and peace inhabits our souls. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the joy which you've bestowed upon us through Christ our Lord. And Lord, I pray that as we continue to remember these things, continue to tell the story, that it shall always be and shall it always will be. That is your promise, Lord. You've brought a kingdom everlasting and you've invited us to be part of it. So thank you, Lord. Amen. Hey, just while we're standing, let's just put our hands together for all that's... That was, as they say, a thing of many parts, as you can only but imagine. So I just want to acknowledge everyone that has been a part of it, large and small. Well done. I think it's such a beautiful expression of this community of faith that is called Cornerstone. So bless you. Thanks, guys. You can get down. Rightio. So, of course, we've been looking at these four candles, which you see out the front, and they represent hope, peace, love, and joy. I don't know if you noticed, but joy was nestled in the candles, at least, was nestled in there between love and peace. So, we've told the story yet again. If we were filming a blockbuster with all the resources at our fingertips, the crew would have wrapped up long ago. They would have, the stars of the show, Mary and Joseph, no doubt might have jumped into their exotic Italian supercar and gone home, but Mary and Joseph in our storytelling jump onto a donkey and flee to Egypt. And so we continue to tell the story long after all the blockbusters that are going to be put out for this Christmas season. This is the one story that endures, and so we retell it. It's been retold now for 2,000 years, and it is the story of the coming of Jesus, the coming of Emmanuel. I love the lyric out of that one of those carols that we sang where it talks about God being pleased as man with men to dwell, God our Emmanuel. And that's been my meditation actually over the last few weeks. Just love the phrasing of that. God who came and dwelt amongst us as Jesus Christ. So, this morning, I was greeted with a little bit of a different scene as I made my way to church. I had occasion to walk to church this morning, just logistics that we have in our family with a car. So as I was walking, I took a shortcut. I don't normally take this route, but it was introduced to me by our friend, not this Nick, but another Nick, who's not here today, but he just cut through behind the local pub down by the waterfront there and through past the off license, and what I was greeted with was just this sight, which I think reflects the difference that we have between the word happiness and joy, and what is on offer in the world, and what it is we've been celebrating here this morning. So it's a sad sight, but there was an individual who was lying down against the wall, facing into the wall of the off-license down there, obviously been there for the night. And this is not a judgment at all, but the owner, I think, probably just happened to come out of the off-license and had to go to his Range Rover for something. And I just couldn't help but think, you know, here it is, you know, what he's offering, some sort of happiness and relief in the bottom of a bottle. and what that has resulted in, and can we be happy profiteering off that sort of thing? That is not where joy is found. Joy is found in Jesus Christ. As I continued on my journey, I had occasion to stop in the local $2 shop and to buy a certain prop that went pop. That was a balloon, by the way. And the gentleman there, who is a wonderful man, he loves to bless others at Christmas, and he said, "Oh, I've got a gift for you." And I just, you know, receiving gifts from someone, it's difficult, isn't it? It's like, oh, you don't have to, it's okay. And what he had was a nativity scene similar to this one, which he gave to, well, I think principally it's been given to the church now, because this is our one from our home. And as he handed it over, I said, "Oh, you know, so you know this is who these people are here," and he had no idea. So I just sort of went through and said, "Oh, this is Joseph and Mary, and that's the baby Jesus." And I tried to convey the story to him in a very short time, but it just made me realize that, you know, there are people who don't know the story like we may do. And so it was a small opportunity. Obviously, there'll be an ongoing opportunity because we have a relationship with him and his wife. But bless them for gifting that to the church, but they don't know the meaning behind the gift, which is staggering. There's a scripture in Psalm 30 in verse 5, and it says, "Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning." Life is a mixed bag, isn't it? Nestled in there amongst those words, which are from Galatians, is the word joy, and it's actually one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So right there, as right up front between love and peace, is a priority. Joy is a substantive thing. It's not like happiness. It's not that fleeting thing that is dependent on circumstance, an external thing that happens by which we glean happiness. No, joy is something that's internal. It's something that needs to dwell in us, and it comes through the presence and the gifting of God through the Holy Spirit. He bestows joy upon us through Jesus Christ. However, there are challenges with that. There are challenges with maintaining our joy. James in chapter 1 and verse 2 says that we're to consider the challenges of life to be pure joy. I don't know whether you feel that way about the challenges of life, but you know, when we face them, do we find that joy rises up in us? Because James says, through that experience, God may be doing something. He may be creating or making something, that internal joy that he can instill in us. It needs to be made mature and complete through perseverance. So in persevering and holding on to our faith in Christ, he bestows joy and he indwells us through it. I like the way Levi the poet puts it in a poem called Joy Seekers, which I've shared a few Christmases ago now, but this is just a small section of that. He's a spoken word poet. He's a little bit edgy, but I really like him. He says about this in his poem, Joy Seekers, "If you hear his voice today, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Let it break." When you see someone lying in front of a liquor store, let your heart be broken as Christ's heart is broken. See Christ in that person. He says, "Let it be broken." No, no, let them be made whole. No, let it all be one and the same. See, we don't want the difficult things in life. We'd prefer the happiness and joy. But what the poet's saying here, what the scriptures tell us in James, is that there is something that can be found in the midst of our difficulties. It is something that God is doing through them to make us mature and complete in our faith and trust in him through Jesus Christ. So rather than pushing away those things, rather than trying to numb, run, and hide from them through whatever means. Why don't we find Christ in them? It is said that in Philippians that Jesus went to the cross because of the joy set before him. So there is this sense in which, yes, weeping may remain for the night, but in the morning comes rejoicing, comes joy, because that's not the end of the story, is it? We know that there is something better. In 1 Peter and verse chapter 1 and verse 8, it says this, though you have not seen him, we have to tell the story this way because Jesus is not here physically amongst us. You love him. We love him. And even though we do not see him now, we believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. That's what's happening here, is an exchange. It's what he gives. It's the oil of joy for the ashes type of exchange. And we find Jesus in unexpected places. There's an acronym that goes with joy, and this is it. I don't know, you probably know this anyway, but it's J for Jesus, Jesus first. Then it is O for others, others next. And it is Y, yourself last. That's the order in which we can discover joy. We discover it first in the person of Jesus Christ. Then as we put others before ourselves, preferring them as Philippians says we are to do, then we find another sense of joy. Doesn't joy come through the celebration of things on behalf of others? Isn't that the greatest thing? And then last of all, we find that in ourselves something happens. When we put ourselves in that place, then we are in a place to receive what God has to give us. Levi the poet says, to wind up his poem, he says, joy seekers, you have found him. You have been found by him. You are free. So I just want to encourage us as we go about our week, as we gather together with others on Christmas Day and in the year ahead, let's find Jesus in unexpected places. When the Magi travelled following that star, I don't know if they expected it, but I'm guessing they were a little bit surprised to find Jesus in a feeding trough, an animal trough. Jesus is in unexpected places. If we look for him, we will find him. If we see him in others, we will find him. And he will reveal his presence in us as we do. Let's pray. Lord, we are all joy seekers in one way or another, both in this place and outside of this space. Lord, I pray that you will so indwell us that your love would come forth from us, and that we might, as we go about our day, find you in unexpected places. People, Lord, both rich or poor, both self-sufficient or in need, Lord, all joy seekers, Lord, may we share the joy that you've imparted and are depositing in us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, we pray. Amen. Amen.